Good morning. As Wayne said, I'm Darren Fitzpatrick, and I've been attending here for about 6 years. Some of you will know, some of you won't know. When I was in my 20s, I worked as an engineer for a couple of years for Mars, and then I went and did a ministry, a traineeship, and I studied theology as well. I studied a Masters of Divinity. So I've actually had the privilege of preaching many times before, but I haven't for a while. So it's a great pleasure and privilege to be back here and sharing with you today. And I hope that you guys find it encouraging and challenging as I've found developing it. So let me say a quick prayer for all of us. Dear Lord, thanks that we can be gathered here together today. Thanks that you know each of us and love each of us. And I pray this will be a good time of you changing our minds and our hearts so you can change our lives in good ways. Amen. Now, this is, of course, the last Sunday of the year. We're about to have New Year's celebrations. We're about to begin a new year. And it's a great time to reflect upon life. And there are some people who are New Year's resolution people. They think next year everything will be different, completely different. There's other people who think life will always be the same. They think nothing will change, nothing can change. Now, are you a New Year's resolution person? Next year I'll get fit. Next year I'll start saving money. Next year I'll spend time with my family. Next year I'll... But why next year? Why would the change from 2019 to 2020 lead to such changes? And if you do want to make a change, why not start now? And how can we be sure the changes are the important things that we actually need to change? Or perhaps you're a no-change person. Life is like it is, and I won't change. I can't change. I do what I do. I've actually had colleagues that before like that who are hopelessly disorganized, and I talked to them about it, and they said, no, this is just who I am. That's just what I do. And I thought, does it really need to be like that? But so perhaps there are changes we need to make. Maybe there's changes that God wants to make in our lives, even if we don't want to make changes. Now, of course, most of us are probably somewhere in the middle. We don't think that life will be completely different because the year changes. And we know that life will change. We can't really help that. But what things should we focus on changing? What are some worthy New Year's resolutions that we can make? For me, I've had experience of big changes happening in life. One big change I made 7 years ago. In the years before, we'd moved to northern China, and it was difficult to exercise in the freezing conditions, and the food was cheap, plentiful, and delicious. I became a bit unhealthy. Then we returned to Australia. I was balancing a few jobs. I was studying full time. I was very busy, and I wasn't exercising. And finally, our son was very sick. I didn't expect to get emotional, but as Reese would know, sometimes it happens. And I was spending hours every day just by his bed, sometimes arguing with doctors, just effectively saving his life. So I got more unhealthy, yeah. When he came home from hospital, we had a photo shoot, and I was about 100 kilograms. I couldn't fit into this shirt, yeah. I thought, that's not what I should look like. And furthermore, if life is so precious that I fought so hard, then my life is precious too. And I want to have as much time as I can. So what did I do? I started running. I signed up for the Run for the Kids 3 months later, and I did it. I just started running. I trained 3 or 4 times a week, and now 7 years later, I'm still running. So I know changes can happen. And in fact, I don't want just to be the only thing you remember from today, but yesterday I went over 2,500 kilometres for the year of running. But even more importantly, I'm fit, I'm strong, and I can just, I can live life like that. So, and I know that all of us here are likely to have positive stories of change in our lives. We know good changes can happen. We don't have to be stuck in a rut. So today we're talking about how to think Christianly about making changes in life. I've called it looking forward and looking back, thinking about the big picture and looking forward, thinking about the big picture and looking back, and then thinking day to day, how do we live? A common metaphor for the big picture is, of course, the helicopter metaphor. Yeah, we can't just be looking around us. We need to get a higher perspective, a bigger perspective. Days, decades, millennia, eternity. So the first big picture we're going to is actually eternity. The future eternity, the new creation, heaven. It's a great thing to look for. Revelation chapter 21 says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I love this message. I love looking forward to this, especially when I go through a difficult time, or people I love or care for go through a difficult time, or even sometimes just when I read or hear the news of some of the terrible things that happen. Knowing that the bad things that happen won't go on forever, but the joy and the love and the good things will. So that's the first big picture. It's looking all the way forward to heaven. There's also looking back to creation. God made the world good and made people good and in the image of God. Amazing. Despite the fall, sin coming into the world, there's still much that's good in the world and in each person. And so in our lives, there's much good every day. And that good is in our lives as a gift from God. And we can be grateful to God for this. And I'll say that because of that, you, every person here, you are created in God's image. You have great dignity. You are well made by God, and you can do wonderful things in your lives. We also look back, just as we've done at Christmas, a wonderful time of year, we've looked back on the birth of Jesus, God becoming a person. And we can also look back on the message of Easter, the death of Jesus for our sins, and his resurrection, because death couldn't hold him down, because he couldn't sin, because he hadn't sinned. And now he's alive in heaven, interceding for us. We know because of this that we can be forgiven for our sins through the death of Jesus. And we can have a relationship with God, not based on our goodness, not based on us being good enough for God, but God's mercy. We also know that God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in the church. And then when we become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and can help us put sin to death in our life day by day. We don't have to accept that whatever, however we're sinning, we're going to keep sinning like that. God can give us the strength to overcome. It's kind of a combination of looking forward and looking back. We look back at the complete work of Jesus, sin defeated, death defeated. We can look forward to sin ultimately being defeated when Jesus returns completely, and gradual sanctification in the meantime. We can be forgiven by God for the wrongs we have done. We can say sorry to God and ask God to help us. As an important aside, we can't actually become perfect. Yeah? We will always be sinning while we're living on this earth. In fact, when we become believers, we're actually already forgiven for all those sins. Yeah, it's amazing. But for any particular strength, God can help us change in that area and help us avoid any particular temptation. We never have to say, because I am who I am, I have to do this sin. Not true. Yeah, it's a lie. So we look back to the good creation and us as part of that. We look back to the beginning of the new creation, the life and ministry of Jesus, and we look forward to the new creation, no suffering, no sin, nothing but joy with God. That's the big picture. And in the John passage, we heard Jesus directing Peter to do just this, to look forward and to look back, to think of the big picture. We know Peter's story, don't we? Especially from Easter, how when Jesus was arrested, Peter followed them to where the trial was happening. That was actually very brave. He was putting himself at risk. But then when he was challenged, do you know Jesus? He said no 3 times. And then it talked about him weeping bitterly. So in Jesus repeatedly asking him this, and probably to some extent by calling him Simon as well, he's actually reminding him of this great failing. He's saying, look back, this is, you did this. Yeah, this is true. But what does he also do at the same time? He says, look forward. He says, feed my sheep. He says, I have a great job for you, a great important job in the church, Peter. And then he also says, in the future, you'll face the same challenge. He says, you will effectively, you will be killed because of your belief in me. The thing you failed in, you won't fail in the future. I can change you, so you won't. So this is the great communication Jesus had with Peter there. Remember your failings, but I'm going to use you regardless. Now, as a reminder that Peter's still not perfect, you think he might say, I'm sad I did that, Jesus, but thank you so much for the encouragement. Does he say that? No, he looks over his shoulder and says, what about him? Yeah. And then Jesus sort of rebukes him. He says, what about him? It's not about him. Follow me. Yeah. But again, instead of him thinking, yeah, okay, I'll follow him, he's obviously shared that and said, I don't think he's going to die. That guy's not going to die. And John, who's the writer of this gospel, says that's not true at all. So it's just a reminder. I love Peter because he's such an obvious failure on many levels, but God has used him to do great things because he's not perfect and we're not perfect either. Now, I really love the end of John. It says, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know his testimony is true. So we know we can trust the Bible. It was written down by trusted eyewitnesses, yeah, friends of Jesus. We can trust the book of John. But there's the extra thing, which I really love as well. It's a reminder of just how much Jesus did in his life. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So reminder, we've got a faithful record of Jesus' life, but he did so much more than that. It's a wonderful thing to remember. Now, as you've said, Peter is a great example for us. Clearly imperfect, as we are, yet used by God. He sinned, but through the power of Jesus was able to successfully face the same trial later. And just as God could use Peter to do great things, God can use us to do great things too. Now, Peter had a really important role. He was a disciple of Jesus. We're not exactly like him, but we know in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, and this definitely applies to every one of us here, it says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has great things for every person here to do. And these jobs are actually a gift from God. They're not just a burden, not just a hassle. They're a gift that God has given to us. And I just want to make it clear, it's not just about a paid job. Yeah, this is about all sorts of acts of service in the church, in our families, yes, in our workplaces and in the community. God has lots of jobs for us to do. And like Peter, we'll benefit by getting the big picture right first, but then day by day looking forward to faithful service doing these jobs that God's given us until we are with Jesus forever. Now, if this is the end of your concentration span, you've already learned enough good things for today, I think. Yeah? So you just need to remember to have God's big picture as you live. Look back to creation and know that you are part of creation and well made by God. You can know that you can look forward to heaven and that struggle and pain will finish. It won't be forever. And you can know that for any particular sin area, struggle in your life, God has the power to help you overcome. Now, if you have more concentration in you, and I hope you do, it's important to get the big picture right, but the big picture is not enough. We also need a day-by-day plan for what we're going to do. And remember the teaching of Jesus. He said, don't worry too much about the future because each day has enough worry of its own. He has an encouragement to think about being faithful each day. And how do we do that? Well, that's where we're going to look at the book of Proverbs a little bit to get some great wisdom from that, Proverbs chapter 3. And three particular quotes from Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let love and faithfulness never leave you, and honour the Lord with your wealth. Trust God, be faithful, love those around you, seek wisdom above all. First, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We won't always understand why things are happening, why we're facing hard times. We might have really tricky decisions in life and we won't always know exactly what to do. At these times, it's really important we trust God, in particular that God does love us and that the suffering cannot go on forever. So we need to trust God each day, being faithful through loving people and being faithful in our tasks, even when it's difficult. An important part of being faithful is to love those around us. The people who are around us, we need to love them. Yes, they are annoying sometimes. Perhaps you're sometimes annoying. There are some people who believe that I am sometimes annoying, and they're probably right. But we are to love people even when they're annoying. Maybe especially that's when we need to remember it. And the jobs we have to do, paid and unpaid, sometimes they can be pretty dull, can't they? They can be mundane. They can be hard. They can be boring. And sometimes we don't want to do them. But this is saying, whatever your job is in front of you, you do it, and you do it to the best of your ability. And the people you're working with and alongside, you've got to love them. Now, as an aside, I've worked for a long time in Christian schools, and there seems to be a misunderstanding amongst some people who are Christian. That means I've met lots of Christians in the workplace, which is different. Some people seem to believe that loving is about never disagreeing. Loving is about just doing whatever the boss tells you and not even asking, even if you think it's dumb or wrong or even harmful. But when I think about that, I always think about Jesus, and I think, did Jesus just avoid conflict at any cost? Now, we don't always have the wisdom of Jesus, but we know that Jesus was willing to have conflict and argument if it was for a good. Similar with Paul and Peter, if they thought someone was doing something wrong, they would bring it up with them. Now, how we do it needs to be lovingly and respectful, but just going along with whatever is happening around us, that's actually not love. That's not Christian love. That's just avoiding conflict. And also, being faithful doesn't mean we have to stay in our jobs forever, paid or unpaid. But it does mean while we're doing it, we need to do it as best we can. Now, at home, I'm a married man and a father, and I know I need to love my family and be faithful in that role. And it's definitely not always easy. Sometimes I arrive home from work, and after 5 minutes, I think I might just go back to work. A little bit more peaceful. But no. At those times, that's when I need to remember, and if maybe some people here, that might resonate with them, that's when we know that's a particularly important time to love them, when we need to remember you are called to love them, even if it might mean telling them off at that point. It might mean a few different things, but we still need to love them even at that point. And what was the great teaching of Jesus, the golden commandment? Love your neighbour. That in some ways gets even harder because that means you've got to love whoever's around you. As a reminder for me, even the people driving around me and driving me crazy. So whoever's around us, it might be our neighbours, it might be the people with us in church, we need to be loving towards people. And sometimes that can also be about how we think about people in a fair way. It can be how we talk about people in a fair way. Don't talk people down in an unfair way. We need to be loving to all people. The third big quote was, honour the Lord with your wealth. And a slight paraphrase, wisdom is better than financial wealth. Wisdom is perhaps even the best wealth of all. Remember the teachings of Jesus. He talked about heavenly treasure, which will not rust or rot. Because possessions are fleeting and will not satisfy. Great example of this. Our kids, sometimes they go to parties or shops and sometimes they bring a balloon home. Yeah? And I always tell them, as soon as I see the balloon, I say, this balloon might pop. Yeah? Let's get ourselves emotionally ready for this. And if it doesn't pop, what's it going to do? It's going to slowly get smaller and smaller over time. Yeah? So that's a great metaphor for every possession we bring home. Be it our house, our car, our sports, whatever it is, it's just a fancy balloon. Yeah? It will break. It won't satisfy. So we don't want to spend our whole lives on fancy balloons. This is a good time of the year to reflect upon our spending and our giving. Because the only way we can give and be more generous is if we spend less in other areas. Yeah? So think about what fancy balloons we want to buy, because we don't want that to dominate our lives. That's not what life is about. Life's not about fancy balloons. Going back to the theme of looking back on our lives to love, one of the great things to do can be to remember the people who have loved us. And one of the people I especially love to remember is my grandparents. Now, they're all with the Lord now. They have died. But I can still remember them with great joy. So I remember my mum's parents. My grandfather, he was a missionary and a minister. He was a great man on so many levels. But when he knew I was coming to visit, he'd be excited. Yeah? And when he saw me, he'd say, "Oh, it's the good Reverend Dr. Darren Fitzpatrick. Good to see you." And there was one time I remember he'd been really poorly. He'd been in bed for several days. But when I got there to visit, I just came into his room and he gave me a big smile and up he got out of bed, got dressed. We went out to a restaurant and he was talking about his current wife, Margaret, my grandmother. He was joking away. And that was his love for me, wasn't it? Exciting. What a great thing to remember. His wife, my Nana Margaret, she was a faithful Christian and she was a teacher of history and geography. So she actually taught me all of Christian history. I wasn't a Christian at that point, but a lot of the great theologians of history that we learned about in the recent sermon series, I thought, I remember learning about that when I was 8 from my grandmother. What an awesome thing to remember. And finally, my dad's mum, my Nana Mari, she was very dear to me as well. She stayed with us a fair bit. She taught me how to play cards, so I would often play cards with her. And even when she was older and she couldn't do anything with her hands, if you picked up a pack of cards, she'd be shuffling, dealing straight away. She could do it. Or if you offered her a cigarette, similarly, she could get moving again. But I remember the last time I went to visit her, she was living in Sydney, I was living in Melbourne, and my dad said, "She's getting weaker. You need whatever conversations you need to have them this time because you might not see her again." Well, thanks. That's good advice. And I was there. I went and visited her. She was in an aged care facility and it wasn't great. It was a bit dark and it wasn't pleasant. And I was trying to find a positive. I looked around and I said, "That's a really good TV you've got there." And then we talked about deeper things. I said, "So Nan, have you thought about you might die?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Are you confident you'll be okay with God?" She said, "I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've been good enough. I've done lots of bad things. I've mucked up." And God could use me to encourage her to say, "But remember, it's not about being good. Yeah. It's about being able to say sorry to God for the bad things you've done and then just trying to do your best. And you can be assured that that's enough for God." And we could pray together for that, which is a wonderful memory. And then that was the last time we spoke. And then 3 months later, to my surprise, I was given a small TV from my grandmother's will. So she'd remembered that conversation, contacted her lawyer and updated the will to make sure this small TV with a switchy screen and a broken volume knob. But what a great gift it was, yeah, because that's her message saying, "I remember that conversation and I love you." So, and I hope and I trust there'll be people in all your lives you can remember who've loved you, and that will help us continue to love. Looking back again in terms of tasks, we can all be grateful for the ways we've made a difference in the world for others through our work, both paid and unpaid. For me, I've worked in hospitality. I've worked as an engineer. I've worked in Christian ministry. I've worked in IT and worked as a teacher and a leader of teachers in schools. And I can say that ultimately I've been good at all these jobs, although as a 22-year-old trying to be an engineer, leading mostly blokes who are aged 40 to 60, that was pretty challenging. I had to grow up into that. But I did manage to get to the point of competence, which is good. So I can think back on my life and I can think I've made a difference. I've I've improved manufacturing plants. I have improved how other teachers teach. I've helped people learn. I've helped people grow in knowledge of and love of maths. I've improved people grow in their knowledge of the Bible. And God's even used me to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. So I can say, God, you've used me to do some really good things. And I can be very confident that every person here has good things that they have done as well. Although, I should add, they might not be the things that you remember and think about. I remember one of the things I did when I was working in ministry is I helped a Christian group starting up at Bendigo. And I drive people to camps and do some speaking and some mentoring. Remember one day I was talking with the president of the Christian Union there, and he said, Darren, I'm just wanting to let you know that conversation we had last year? I've done all of those things in the way we've led the Christian Union this year. I've been mentoring, been focused on that. And I thought, I remember being with you, but I don't actually remember that conversation, but God had used it. And the point of that conversation is the kind good things that you've done that have made a difference. You might not even know what they are, but be confident that they are there. Yeah. So we can look back also on the hard times that God has helped us through. Paul in Philippians, when he was facing big challenges, he said, it would be better for me to die and be with God because then my suffering would be over. But it's better for you that I stay because there's more jobs that God's got for me to do. And that's similar for us. God has jobs for us to do for the rest of our life as long as we're able to do that. And that's what we need to do, be faithful in those. Now, perhaps like me, the end of a long year, you're very tired and fatigued, run down a bit. Perhaps like me, actually, more rest and restoration will be a good goal going forward. Not more tasks, more rest. So this New Year's period, I encourage all of us to get the big picture right and make our New Year's resolutions in the light of that. New Year's resolution, remember the big picture. Remember that all the pain and suffering will finish, but the good times and joy will go on forever. Perhaps the quote from Revelation is something you could print out and put up on the mirror of your or bathroom or somewhere in your house where you can be reminded of it often, that God will dwell with us. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Perhaps another good New Year's resolution is to remember that you are well made by God and that God has made good things for you to do. Maybe you could put the Ephesians 2, chapter 2 verse 10 quote up somewhere or memorize it. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Or perhaps if we've got the big picture well, being reminded of those little things. Maybe now if we have a little bit of time, it's good to set up these things so that we remember when we get busy, how do we need to focus day by day? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And remember, wisdom is better than financial wealth. For me, in the day-to-day going forward, the big change I want to make is more genuine rest and less time on my phone looking through apps. I've actually already started this. I'm not waiting for next year. I've added daily limits for each app and how long I can look at it. Facebook's only 10 minutes. Because if I rest better, I can be more faithful in my jobs and more consistently loving to those around me. Actually, me resting more is a loving thing for others too. So above all, get the big picture right. You are well made by God and you can look forward to the new creation. No more pain, sin destroyed. We can look forward to what is actually described as our eternal rest and remember to genuinely rest as we wait. And then we need to get our day-to-day right, be faithful in our tasks and love and keep money in its place. Now, before I finish, I just want to say another quick prayer. Dear Lord, thanks for this message. Thanks that the big picture is a beautiful one, time with you and suffering over. Thanks that you have wisdom for us from day-to-day. And I pray you'd help us remember that each day of the new year and onward. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.